Well, church, this month, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 3, verse 16. This month, we're starting a new series on helping you to know how to share your faith, and we're going to have a real practical one. In fact, Jack, can you bring up one of those chairs over there? I'm going to have my wife, Sandra, pretend that I'm having lunch with her, and Sandra is a friend of mine from work or from a hobby shop, or not hobby shop, but a gym or something like that. I know I'm not supposed to be having lunch with single ladies, beautiful ladies like you, when with my wife not around. I understand that. Sit over here, Sandra. Do you have your microphone? So what we're going to talk about this morning is one of the ways in terms of being able to share your faith in a non-sort of programmed way. And it's based on John 3:16. And in your Bibles, the most famous verse in the world, it says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We have some folks giving out some sheets of paper to you right now. You need to take one per person. And you're going to have the cheat sheet on one side, but you need to turn it over on the other side, the blank side, and follow along, because what you write down, you'll remember. Would that be okay? And if you need to put beside it little numbers, one, then the word number two, number three, to know which order you're going to be doing this. So I'm going to be pretending that I'm having lunch with one of my friends, my colleagues at work, and we've had a little bit of a discussion about who Jesus is, and now it's time for me to explain the gospel of Jesus Christ. The word gospel is a Greek word for good news. And so we're going to talk about that. So Sandra, tell me about God. What do you know about God? And by the way, when I do this, I would be drawing it on the other side of the food mat. There's usually napkins. There's some, like if you're at a Chinese restaurant, there's always that list of 50 different drinks that you can buy. Turn that over. It's blank on the other side. And just write on there. So Sandra, what do you know about God?
Well, I think he's a big guy somewhere up there.
Is he nice?
I think so.
Kind? Do you know the Bible says the biggest aspect of God is that he's a loving God. Absolutely loves you and me. Tell me about people. So I'm going to put the word mankind down here, but what do you know about people? Are people nice?
Some.
Is your boss nice? I'm your boss. Is your boss nice?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. So what the Bible teaches, Sandra, is that when God created the world, he made mankind, and his intent was that mankind would enjoy a relationship with him forever. And so the way that God made us is that for the length of time that we're alive, we'd always be with him until we get to eternity. And in the Bible, eternity is called heaven. And so all of our life, we're supposed to be connected with God, enjoying God, listening to God, experiencing God. And our journey is that we're going to do that for the rest of our lives. But there was a problem that happened right at the very beginning with the very first people who were called Adam and Eve. Any idea what that was? No idea. Here's the problem. It was the word sin. Do you know what the word sin means, Sandra?
I think it's bad stuff that we do.
Bad things?
Bad
what else?
Things.
Bad words?
Yeah.
If you curse somebody, is that a sin?
I guess so.
Kill someone?
I think so. No.
Yes, it is. The word sin is really a word that says you've come short of the standard that God has. And sin is not just actions, it's words, it's thoughts. And the worst sin of all is to say that I don't need God anymore. And the Bible says that Satan came into the garden where Adam and Eve were, and he tricked them into doing something that God said don't do. And so because they did it, sin became a part of their life. And the Bible talks about as soon as sin is in you, it contaminates you, and the relationship that you have with God changes. And so all of a sudden, the Bible talks about that people fell from grace. They fell from being with God. And so now mankind is down here. And we're still on a journey. The problem is now instead of it into eternity and eternity being called heaven, we're now going into a place where the Bible calls hell. And hell's not a good place. People say go to hell all the time. And that's not a good thing when they say that kind of thing. And so here's what happens is now people are separated from God because of sin. And the big issue if a person wants to connect with God, is you got to understand how sin works, and you got to figure out how to deal with sin. So in the history of mankind, all sorts of people have tried to get back to God. So I'll give you an example. Some people think that if you do good things, like if you obey the Ten Commandments, that'll help you to get back to God. And good things are good because the word good's in there. But the problem is they don't get us to God. And some people, they go to church or they're involved in a religion. And that's a good thing. But there's a problem again. It doesn't connect us with God. And the reason it doesn't connect us with God is because we still haven't dealt with this. So some people think if I do a whole bunch of good things, that's going to get rid of this. Some people think if I go to church, it's going to deal with this. Not necessarily. And there's another thing too, Sandra, that a lot of people do. A lot of people say, well, if I look after the Ten Commandments, if I obey all the Ten Commandments. Well, can I ask you a question, Sandra? Have you kept all the Ten Commandments?
I think so. I'm supposed to answer like I don't know, right? So I think so.
So do you ever lie?
No. Yes.
So that would mean now you're down to 9. Have you ever taken anything that's not yours?
Yes.
So now you're down to 8. You know, Sandra, if I went through those one by one, you'd be down to none. And so for people who think...
I didn't kill anybody, though.
Yeah, I know. Have you ever thought of killing somebody?
No.
What about your husband? Have you ever thought of killing your husband?
No. No.
No? Okay.
No, I really like him.
Most people, maybe not you, but here, let's get to this. Can you see something that's a challenge with all of these ideas? Can you see anything that sort of strikes you as a little bit odd in trying to get to God?
Well, if I tried to do good and tried to go to church and tried to keep the commandments, then I don't know that I'd ever measure up.
Okay. We've not rehearsed this, by the way. This is purposely, she doesn't know what I'm saying. I don't know if you figured that out. Well, here's the big problem, Sandra, is now I've purposely drawn these arrows all short, that they actually don't get to God, because that's what the Bible says, is that all of our good things amount to nothing. But the other problem is that it starts with man and man's thinking. It starts where we're at rather than where God is at. And the Bible says that our thoughts are nowhere near like the thoughts of God. And his thoughts for us are way better than the thoughts we even have for ourselves. And so one of the challenges for each of these things is, how do we deal with this problem still? And there's not one religious faith group in the world, apart from one, that deals with sin. If you were a Hindu today, you don't worry about sin because you're going to just come back in another life. And if you've been bad, you're going to come back in a lower form. You're going to come back as a cricket or a grasshopper or something like that. And if you're a good cricket, then maybe you get to be a pig next time, and you're not, et cetera. The problem is they don't have a way to deal with sin. And I have some amazing good news for you today, Sandra. There's one person, remember we talked about God, how much he loves you, how much he cares for us? Well, the Bible says that he decided he was going to do something about that. And he sent his son Jesus to live on planet Earth, and we celebrate his birth at Christmas, and we remember on Easter weekend that Jesus died for us. And God saw us, all of us, and all of our attempts to connect with him, and he knew it was no good. Somehow God has to reach down. Instead of people trying to get up to God, God has to reach down to us. And so God sent his son Jesus to die on a cross and to cover our sin, so that the sin that I have and that you have would go on Jesus, and that God would pay the penalty so that I could go free. Does that make sense? So here's what happens. So Sandra, I don't know how long you're going to live, but let's say that this is, you're going to get to 70 years of age. So let's say you're right here today, a 40-something-year-old lady. You're right here today. God loves you. God sent Jesus to die for your sin. All of the different ways that you can try to get to God don't connect. They're not good enough. There's only one way. In fact, Jesus said he was the only way to the Father. And so God's looking not for you to go to a church, although going to church is good. He's not looking for you to keep the commandments, although that's good. He's looking for you to get to know his son Jesus and to invite him to come into your life. And you're at a crossroads right here today, Sandra, because if you do nothing, this is where you go. That's not good, is it? You have an alternative. If you choose Jesus, this is where you go. And for the rest of your life, you're on this journey where God is going to send his Spirit, the Spirit of God, is going to come into your life and is going to help to mature you, is going to help to grow you, is going to reveal more and more of God's love for you. And so you're going to have a choice to be able to spend eternity with God. So you're here right now. What would you like to do?
Well, it makes kind of sense. I need eternity. I need heaven.
You need heaven. Absolutely, you need heaven. I was 8, Sandra. I was way over here when I gave my life to Jesus, when that made sense. So I've been on a journey, and some of it's up and some down. That's probably the way it is for most of us, as we're going like that. But here you are today, Sandra, and I'd like to just say a little prayer with you. Would that be all right for you to give your life to Jesus? Okay, stop right there. Did that make sense? So you can sit down, Sandra. Did you write things down on your little piece of paper? Do you think you can remember which way to do it? Maybe. If we had a little bit more time, I would have given you 5 minutes to practice with a friend and for you to just do that. So how many of you are going to Swiss Chalet for lunch or somewhere else for lunch? You're going out for a restaurant for lunch. How many of you are doing that? How many are going to someone else's house for lunch? How many of you are going to invite yourself to someone else's house for lunch? At lunchtime, I guess my point is this. At lunchtime, practice saying this to someone else. Draw it out. Because if you don't draw it out a couple times, you're not going to forget it. But it's all based on the simplicity of God's love. And every single time that I have used this with a person in a restaurant, in a coffee shop, wherever I am, and talking to them about Jesus, every single time they've given their life to Jesus. Because they get to see it on paper, and this is the key right there. Make that big. Make that dot a big dot. Help them to realize, oh my goodness, if I just keep going the way I'm going, I'm destined for hell. That's not what God wanted. And all of a sudden, it just begins to click in them. Now, folks, I'm here to tell you that the most powerful thing is not a logical presentation. It's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's able to just soften their heart so that they're ready to be able to listen to you, to give a logical step-by-step, not sort of a canned, you know, like I've got 3-minute speech, don't interrupt me kind of thing. This is designed to be a relational conversation with someone. We had a gentleman by the name of Ralph Neighbor with us probably 12 years ago, was helping do some consulting for our cell groups and how we do our cells. And I remember that he taught us this. And I'd never seen that before. And as soon as he did, it was like, that's it. That's what I'm going to use from here on in. And so I've been using this little technique, and I just call it John 3:16. So I want to encourage you to do that as well. Now, I asked Sandra the question. I don't know where your folks are at. My guess is that most everybody in this room here, at some point in your life, you've already made a decision to connect with Jesus, and you're on that upward journey. Would that be correct? How many of you have already made a commitment to Jesus and said, I'm on that upward journey? My also guess is that some of you are here this morning, and you're going, that's interesting. I don't really know if I've put it all together before. I don't know if I've really given my life to Jesus. Well, I have amazing news for you. You can do that right here, right now. There's actually a verse in the Bible that says, whoever believes. Doesn't say you have to go to a course, doesn't say you have to come to a certain meeting. It's just a time in your life when all of a sudden things make sense. How many of you are married? Let's have the men stand up. All the men who are married, stand up. Men, Valentine's next Sunday, just to remind you. Write it down. How many of you remember the day that you decide? Oh, some of the guys sat down already. It's like they've given up on Valentine's already. How many of you men remember when you fell in love? Remember even a day? Remember, you just knew this is what had happened. Okay. Most of the guys have put their hand up. A couple of them twice. Guys, you can be seated. My point is that for the men that are married, there was a time when they understood, oh my goodness, I think I've fallen for this lady. And then quickly, maybe not quickly, shortly, maybe even not shortly, but at some point after that, at some point after a revelation came to them, they made a decision, and that was to say to the girl, would you marry me? And that was the time, that was a transition moment. Would you agree, men? That's a transition moment when you realized, I love this person, I want to spend my life with them, and then you ask, would you marry me? Well, this is the point that maybe some of you are here right now, today, and it's just dawned on you, I need to give my life to Jesus. I've been trying, I've been thinking I'm doing all right, I've been doing all the right things that I know to do, but in this little explanation, it's like, I don't know that I've actually invited Jesus to cover my sin. I've been doing these other things, and as it turns out, these other things don't cut it. So I'm going to invite Jesus to cover my sin. And the Bible says you can do that with a choice to believe and to just receive it. There's a verse in the Bible, if you have your Bibles open, head back to John chapter 1, verse 12. It says this, or let's read it verse 12, sorry, verse 10, John chapter 1, verse 10. Jesus was in the world, and though the world was made by him, or sorry, through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to his own people, meaning the Jewish people, and the Jewish people did not receive him. Yet to all who would receive him, that's an invitation to everyone else, to everybody, including the Jewish people, yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent or of human decision or God's will, but born of God. And so that's us. We have a choice to make this today. I'd like everyone to stand up, and we're going to say a group prayer together. And this is a prayer to say, I would like Jesus to cover my sin. What Jesus did on the cross, dying for me, I'd like that to be personable. I would like to go from this spot, heading to an eternity without God, I'd like to begin a journey to head to an eternity with God. So if you're up for saying that prayer, how about we say this? And those of you who have already given your life to Jesus, let's say this together for the benefit of those that are around us. Let's close our eyes. Father God, I understand that you love me. And you saw my attempt to get to know you and realized it wasn't good enough. And you loved me so much that you asked your son Jesus to do an extreme thing. To die on a cross, not because of anything that he had done, but because of what I had done. My thoughts, my attitudes, my actions. And Jesus, I choose you today. I'd like to invite you to be part of my life. Would you take me on that journey to heaven to be with you one day? Would you send your Holy Spirit to come into my life and help me on that journey? In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, how many of you are here this morning? And to be honest, you would say, I think I'm in this place right here. And because I've said that prayer, I'm now here. I'm starting up. How many of you are here this morning? Put your hand up if you prayed that prayer to give your life to Jesus today. It all made sense to you. Just go like this so I can see. There's a lady over here. Where else, folks? Wave like this. This is a good thing. Come on. Where are you? Come out of hiding. Come out wherever you are. Remember hide and seek? Is there anyone here? If you brought a friend this morning, and even if you didn't bring a friend, but if there's someone beside you that you don't know them, can I just get you to lean over and say, if you said that prayer, you need to wave your hand. Can you just do that right now real quick? It may feel a little bit awkward, but that's all right. Just do it. And this lady that's over here, this lady, Yvette, was she right beside you? Yvette, you want to bring her up? Come on up. And if you're with someone this morning, and they said, you know, I don't know, and maybe if you go with me, I'll come to the front. But I want to encourage you to come to the front because we're going to pray for this lady and for any others. Come over here. Come. And for any others that are here this morning, that all of a sudden this made sense to you. What's your name?
Herta.
This lady's name is Herta. Let's stretch our hands towards her. When we stretch our hands towards you, that's saying, God, be with this lady. So God, would you be with Herta? We thank you that she's invited you into her life. Father, thank you that things made sense today. And she realizes that she is a God in heaven. Yeah. And Herta, we bless you for you to know that God has forgiven you of all of your sins. Yeah. He's cleansed you from all of your sins. Yeah. And the Holy Spirit is with you right now. Come over here, guys. There's some more folks coming up. They came up, Herta, because of you. So, Father, just fill Herta right now with your Holy Spirit. Yvette, you want to just keep praying? Who are we praying for? You? Jen. This is Jen. Bless you, Jen. Good. Did you guys all come with Jen? Or you came as well? Or you're another Jen? You got two Jens. Very, very good. Let's stretch your hands towards these ladies, Jen and Jen. There's some ladies behind you going to pray for you too. And some more. Look at this. We're multiplying. Just give me a second. Did you come? Were you as well coming? Great. And the people behind you are just part of our prayer team, so they're just going to be praying for you as well. Where's the men? It's all ladies. Let me pray for you again. Would that be all right? So those of you that are with them, just put your hand on them. Holy Spirit, we're asking for these ladies, for Jen and the other ones. Father, we're asking that all the consequences of things that you used to do in life, all the things that used to be a part of your life, the things that went against God, every one of those, we wash it off of you. We forgive you in the name of Jesus. And we say that Jesus forgives you. And you get a brand new start today. Not only do you get a brand new start today, but you get God deciding to live inside you. You get God, through His Holy Spirit, saying, I'm going to be your teacher. I'm going to help you. And so here's what you need to expect. You need to expect to have voices, good voices, thoughts, actually. It's more like thoughts. An idea will come to you. It'll be like, just like you get a thought saying, I think I should go to the mall. This time it'll be a thought like, I think you should not do that. I think you should do that. And God's going to direct you. And all of a sudden you're going to find yourself, just things are opening up for you in your life. You're going to find yourself that it's like, well, why wasn't life like this before? It's because God's in you. And He loves you, absolutely loves you, cares for you, even likes you, more than love, likes you. So, Father, be with these ladies. Father, we're asking that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit right now. Come, Holy Spirit, fill them. Fill them, fill them, fill them. In Jesus' name. Now, ladies, we're just going to do one more thing with you, just to give a little bit more privacy. If you don't mind, Sandra's going to take you over into this side room right here and just be able to pray with you just a little bit more. Would that be all right? So just follow my wife over here. Bless you, Jen. Congratulations. You guys can go with your friends. Okay, grab one person's hand that's close by you. You don't have to get in the big chain. Like if you're in a line of six, break it up. Get in like twos and threes. Close your eyes. Holy Spirit, would you come and wash over us? Father, we're asking for a cleansing from all of our sins this past week. Some of us have been in situations and we just know we made the wrong choice. Some of us have been bombarded by sexual thoughts this week and we've spent a little bit too much time fantasizing into those kind of areas. And Father, we're not intending to do that. We just sort of seem to be carried along. And Father, I'm asking that you cleanse us. Some of us have been fantasizing about if we had more money and we're thinking more about material kind of things and possessions than we were about things we probably probably should have. So, Father, all the aspects of our lives where we just sort of stepped off the road a little bit, we stepped off that journey of relying on you, Father, would you come and cleanse us right now by your Holy Spirit, wash away every sin. And friends, the Bible was written, the book of 1 John was written for followers of Jesus, and it says that if we say we don't sin after we become followers of him, we're liars. And he says to acknowledge that and just to be involved in the process. And the Bible says that if we if we confess our sins, he's faithful. Our God's always there. He's just. He always is right. He's faithful. He's just. He forgives us of our sins. And then comes the bonus. He cleanses us from all that's not right. So Holy Spirit, would you come? And would you begin to cleanse us from everything that's not right in us? Friends, the kingdom of God is the standard for what is right. The kingdom of God says that there's nobody sick in the kingdom of God in heaven. And Jesus taught us to pray, kingdom come on earth, just like it is in heaven. So in the name of Jesus, we're commanding sickness to leave our bodies right now. In the name of Jesus, we're asking that poverty leaves our bodies right now. The asphalt in heaven is gold. Like, what do they have on their tables? What kind of jewelry do they have if gold is asphalt? And we're to bring kingdom of heaven to earth. So, Father, we're asking for all the things in us that contribute to poverty, all the things that contribute in our lives to bad relationships, to us just striving and just it's not working. Father, we're asking for a cleansing from all of those things, and it all is predicated on if we confess that we've sinned. We have a faithful God, a loving God, who cleanses us, forgives us, and cleanses us from all unrighteousness, all things that aren't right. So, Father, we speak healing. We speak blessing of finances. We speak blessing of relationship into every person that's here in this building, those of you that are watching on the internet. Spirit of God, come. Fill us again right here, right now. We welcome you. And just breathe in the Holy Spirit. Let him come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Just hopefully you still have your eyes closed and are just receiving. I just want to encourage you that we did the most basic of basic talks in these pastors' conferences in Bangladesh. And again, many of the pastors were illiterate. They're just very rural. Many of them have been saved. In fact, we had people there that were pastoring churches and have been saved less than 3 months. And it just happened that they were the first person in their village that got saved. And so they're now the pastor. And the presence of God, just feeling God, they said was the most wonderful teaching that we brought, was how to just experience that God loves us. I talked about soaking at both of these conferences, and I said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to lie down on the floor. They all laughed at me. It was so funny. They're going, what do you mean? And there, no one would lie down. They all sat on the floor, but no one would be the first. You can look at me now. No one would be the first one to put their back down. And it was just, it was hard. In fact, the ladies pushed at it the hardest. And they're all giggling and all that kind of stuff. So finally, I just said, where's the district pastors? 18 hands went up. Lie down. They're used to bossing. Lie down. So they lie down. Okay, everyone else is a pastor. Lie down. So they lie down. There wasn't room for nice, neat piles. They're all on top of each other and all this kind of stuff. And the worship team don't know how to soak. They don't know how to sing quiet. It's all boom, boom, boom with drums. And I just said, sing the most quiet worship song that you know. And so with a guy who doesn't even know how to play the piano, he's just trying to make it up as he's going, finding tunes, the Holy Spirit came. And this bishop is going, he's lying down in the middle of them. And he came to me. Have I lost the battery? Can you hear me okay? Whatever happened, the Holy Spirit just showed up, and the pastor goes, this is the best gift that we could ever have, is feeling the presence of God. And so, church, let's close your eyes once more. Last drink. Holy Spirit, would you come and fill us now? Now just put your hand on the shoulder of that one person that you've been holding hands with. Holy Spirit, come and fill us again. I started this meeting by talking about Mary and Martha, that passage from Luke chapter 10. And it clearly says, you can read it for yourself, that Martha, not Mary, not Lazarus, Martha invited Jesus to her home. And then Martha never spent any time with Jesus. She was too busy. And it was Mary who had the benefit because she just decided, I'm going to sit at his feet and just enjoy Jesus. If my sister who invited him here isn't going to visit with him, I'll visit with him. And so, Father, I'm asking for a blessing to come with each of us, is that whether it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, in our car, on the TTC, at home, wherever, that as we just choose to say, Holy Spirit, come, that you would come and be our portion of strength for this week. We bless you, Father, for all of your goodness. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.